The Fan on Demand. The playoffs are set. Raptors, Nets. Let's get it on.
They're a very experienced team. They got championship caliber players. I mean, I don't know how many more playoff minutes, more so than we do, but it's quite a few.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
8:03, Brady and Walker, good morning. It's your Thursday. It's kind of like Friday. It's the last day of the week. We're going to play ping pong. We're very excited.
How much do people want to know our results? Because I am going to kick your ass today.
I would say our generally listening audience really wants to hear our ping pong.
What's our
results?
Head-to-head record? Let's say we played 30 times. It's 16-14 for somebody, but I don't know. Honestly, I don't know for who.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
And you admit to say, I know you had food poisoning in Mexico. You had your liver removed. You've got
both of them.
You had the same spleen injury as Peter Forsberg back in the playoffs of 2001. So you're in trouble.
I'm going to crush you today. Just absolutely.
You won't be able to sit down the rest of the afternoon. You can say you're going to sit and watch Jay's Twins at 1 o'clock.
I am.
You won't be able to sit.
Standing room only, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Andrew Walker. Bye. It's Greg Brady. Masai Ujiri, by the way, we just finished talking about the Raptors with Butch Carter and some good stuff from him. You can catch that online on the podcast. It'll be up momentarily. Masai Ujiri on with Jeff Blair right off the top at 9 o'clock. He has to be very excited. Everything he's touched is... And you know, sometimes in life and in business, you get on a good run. Masai Ujiri comes in, and he knows this has been just a Midas touch
type of
6 months run for him.
Walker, did I not just mention the Lowry thing? I'm like, that's a great thing. That's a great trade that you tried to make
him.
That didn't happen. That didn't materialize. That didn't crystallize.
Like, and could the Bargnani and the Rudy Gay, could that have been any more perfect?
No.
It's impossible.
You get a first round pick for Andrea Bargnani.
It's unbelievable.
And I think people should get to, before we want to get into this Carey Price thing. We will in like 2 minutes because we were hot and bothered about his play last night and still debating it a little bit this morning. But Ryan Favre, producer, just said to us, and you know, he can't stay and play ping pong with us. He has to go to all these appointments and stuff. He's got a young child. He's a proud dad.
Mr. Mittens has a grooming appointment.
That's not Rocco's name. His son Rocco has an appointment. And he says to us, this Raptors campaign, this We the North, and you and I
we jump cynics all at over heart.
I loved it. I loved the look of it last night. I sought it out on YouTube last night when I found out about it, and it looks awesome. I got nothing cynical to say about it.
So you saw the whole like the one that's like a minute 10 long?
Yes, unbelievable.
So cool.
Oh, Brady Walker, corporate chills. Yeah, that's us. Yeah, that's us. The Leafs and Raptors and Jays are always thrilled with everything we say about them. Yes.
Right. And we
talk it off.
And we own the Raptors somehow. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, we don't.
I thought it was very cool. I thought it captured the Canadian aspect of it. The fact that, it is. The Raptors are the only team in this country.
Cahal Kelly points this out in the Globe and Mail this morning. There's fire, and there's snow, and there's wolves. Like, it's not a Liam Neeson movie. It's a Raptors ad. And think about this. Do you think this season, 12 months ago, if you'd asked people and said, you want to change the name and the logo, people would go, yeah, it's a dumb-looking dinosaur bouncing a ball. I don't know whether 12 months later people
I would still want to keep
the Raptors.
I would still change it.
You would change it?
It's the only thing that's embarrassing is your franchise is named after a popular movie at the time of your inauguration. I hate it.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have been called the Toronto Gremlins in 1984.
Yes, they might have been. They might have been.
Stripe and the fuzzy one.
SN gotta ask. I thought I'd throw it out there. I don't know what to say.
Toronto Never Ending Story. That was a popular movie back then. All right, so last night, the Montreal Canadiens, they're the only team to win on the road last night in the opener, so they steal home ice. It was, because you can preview a series all you want, and you have your different opinions and all of this. And we said yesterday, you know, no Ben Bishop for the Lightning means that things tilt the way of the Montreal Canadiens ever so slightly.
Well, basically, good freaking luck with Anders Lindback. And we weren't wrong on him. He gave up 5 last night. Though he was busy, but he gave up 5.
He was busy. He was busy. But, I mean, he kicks the puck out to Gionta. He's probably deep in his net on the Dale Weiss overtime winner. Twice in that game, the Montreal Canadiens bounced back with a goal, especially that one early 19
right
seconds
away,
after the Lightning took the opening lead. Yeah, Anders Lindback, I mean, and it's tough to sit here and crush him because he's a backup goalie.
He is what he is.
He wasn't supposed to play. He was supposed to be Ben Bishop.
He is what he is. They got no future without Ben Bishop in this series. But the debating point is, what is Carey Price? And I think, how did he play last night is some to kick around the water cooler this morning. And because you're in on me going, oh, bad goal, Brady. Do you watch hockey? Have you ever seen the sport? And I'm going to you, well, is he playing very good? Like, I didn't know how to... I knew they were playing abysmal in front of him. I know
listen,
that they did.
You pissed me off last night because here we are. We're 7 minutes in. And we're 7 minutes in. It's like reacting to game one of the Blue Jays season like Payhurst did. So we're 7 minutes in, and Nikita Kucherov rips one from the slot. Like, from the low slot in front of the net, 15 feet in front of Carey Price.
I think he's above the hash mark, man, but okay.
And it goes in. And you're quick on the draw, Johnny Quicktyper. Oh, shocker. A bad playoff goal against Carey Price. Well, color me surprised. It's a one-timer from the slot.
And I spelled color without a U just to piss you off.
Give the guy a break. Give the guy a break. And last night, Carey Price, yes, he allows four. But it was a weird game. If you would have been watching, let's say, The Bachelor and check the box score after the game, your impression would have been, oh, Carey Price must have sucked. I didn't think he sucked at all. I thought he was pretty good, especially in overtime where he made about five
great
big saves.
Yeah, and that's what I said, great in overtime. But the Canadians can't go anywhere if they play that way in front of them. They can't go anywhere, no matter how bad Lindback is night after night. But you'd concur, Price will have to be better than he's ever been in the playoffs. Okay. And he'll much better than last year. I mean, that game three was an abomination against Ottawa last year. And John Tortorella, make a GD save. I'm tired, a little tired of the 75% rule. And that's what it was in regulation. He had a 750 save percentage last night. He finished at 840, but he was there when it mattered. I give you that. I'd rather have him, Andrew, than 20 starting goalies in the NHL.
Well, at least.
But I wouldn't rather have him than 27 or 25. He hasn't proven that much to me yet.
Corey Crawford's won a cup. You're not taking Corey Crawford over...
Not a chance. Stick him on the Hawks.
Over Carey Price.
Andrew, stick him on the Hawks. They got a better chance. Stick him on the Sharks. They got a better chance. I know how good he is.
The Penguins. Yeah, all of that. But I do agree that he's going to have to be the best he's ever been, you know, for the Montreal Canadiens to go on a deep playoff run. This is the same with any goalie on any team. He's going to have to steal some games at some point down the stretch. Last night, I think the biggest criticism that you can level at Carey Price is that, no, he didn't steal it. It was a funny game, though, wasn't it? Because you would agree that Montreal is the better team. They deserve to win that game, right?
100%. Right. Yep, they were. I loved how a lot of their players played.
And I didn't hate how Montreal played in front of Carey Price, save for when they made an error, right? When somebody had a brain cramp, it seemed to be a spectacular one that instantly ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, Tampa Bay, it felt like watching the Lightning felt like you're watching the Leafs. They were getting outshot 2-1. And an opportunity came their way, and there goes the 2-on-1, and it's in the back of the net.
Is there a bigger, and we use opportunists negatively, Andrew, in hockey. I don't think there's a better opportunist than Steven Stamkos.
Probably not.
Think about the game when the wheels started to really fall off the Leafs' truck. Tampa comes in here and wins 5-3, and Stamkos scores all three, and he's left alone for 2 one-timers. You know how many goals he scored in the game? Three. You know how many shots he had in the game? Three.
Yeah.
He's 3-for-3 in shots.
And that's part of the Price conversation too, Greg, because like some people are like, oh, it's a bad goal when Stamkos rips it from the wing. Keep in mind, this is Steven Stamkos going 100 miles an hour, one of the best pure snipers in the game, and he goes posting in. I mean, I guess, you know, Carey Price would like to save that, but I have a hard time sitting here crucifying Carey Price for not stopping that puck.
I'm glad you said that, because this is the one thing we'd agree on. We'll see how it goes Friday night for Tampa and Montreal. It's fascinating.
If it's Nate Thompson shooting that puck, yeah, you might criticize him.
Don't you put an asterisk beside anybody who's scored 60 ever in the NHL and you go, is it ever a bad goal against Mike Bossy or Brett Hull or Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux or Steve Stamkos. I don't know if it is.
Nick Kiprios going to join us from Tampa. He was there for the Canadians and Lightning game one. Our Hockey Central Insider, that's coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, it's Brady and Walker's worst tweet of the day.
Brady and Walker's worst tweet of the day.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing.
We disagree on stuff. We do agree, however, on this one, and the version of what we saw was the worst tweet of the day all throughout yesterday, and you'll see it all throughout today again.
Well, Twitter's difficult on computer because I don't know. You don't see it on your phone, but you know how when people link pictures in their tweets now and they all come up automatically and it drains.
Pictures, yes.
It drains your screen. So last night, the game's barely going, and with both Carey Price and Anders Lindback, I get Photoshop. I must have got eight of them. Of a beach ball.
Yes.
With a rainbow-colored beach ball in the back of the net behind Carey Price and behind Anders Lindback.
I got one in of Marc-Andre Fleury yesterday.
You gotta,
with a beach ball going top corner.
Your beach ball joke is the oldest gag going you can play on a goaltender. You can Photoshop a giant beach ball in a net.
It's been happening since Dan Kluche gave up a goal to Nick Lidstrom from center ice in the early 10 years ago. You know what you're proving? You know what you're... It's like when you think you're fancy because you're ordering a limo. You know what you're proving? Congratulations, you have $80. Good job.
I mean,
this proves you have Photoshop. So yeah. You're sitting there at your computer Photoshopping this beach ball and thinking, this is going to be funny.
It's sort of
now,
like,
this is going to be hilarious.
It's sort of like if you're the last guy or girl to jump off the... You remember the "What's up, guys?" in the beer... in the.
Yes.
If you're the last guy to do it, you got to see this email. It's so funny.
If you post today of Antti Niemi with a beach ball in the back of the net, you have to hashtag it. What's up?
Where's the beef? No, honestly. Who shot JR?
Yeah. Fine.
Nanu, nanu. It's not Mork and Mindy. It's not on anymore.
I agree. That is the worst tweet of the day. Easily.
Good.
All right. You're wrong about Price. You're right about the tweet.
Gotta ask. I told you.
Nick Kiprios coming up. His thoughts
on Tampa
and Montreal.
8:15. It's 1 degree right now. 8 degrees is the high a little later on today. A 100% chance of a table tennis butt kicking for you. I got to throw that in there. Just makes the weather more interesting.
Back at it. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Kucherov comes out to check in. Reese's Lucy shoots. He scores. Danny Briere weaves some magic again with Michael Bornival and Dale Weiss. And it's Weiss who wins the game for Montreal.
Tell you what, it is absolutely uncanny that Danny Briere makes another big play last night. Like, that is a guy, Greg, that could have no goals and no assists, and he almost did this season. And then the postseason starts, and the guy's unbelievable. Like, his postseason numbers over the years with Buffalo, with the Flyers, absolutely incredible.
He's
point a game, like, in 106 games.
I like stats like the next guy, but there is no way to quantify what Briere does. Besides the obvious, which is he puts up goals, assists, points, and you can count on him in big minutes. I thought a lot of guys, and I'd still point at Tampa's Richard Panik and say, I don't know how he's going to play in the playoffs, but I thought he was excellent last night. Didn't score a point last night in a 5-9 goals were scored, and he wasn't in on any of them.
Other than the flyby and the overtime winner, but yeah, sure.
I thought he was excellent, but Kucherov, right? Killorn. There's another guy.
Yeah, Clark's a good player. Kid from Montreal. That was the narrative last night.
Tampa's done a lot with, they've done a lot with nameless, faceless, right? And Philpula. Like, how badly would Ken Holland rather have Philpula
back? Than Steven Weiss?
And Steven Weiss sign.
You kidding me?
So sometimes the commodity that you know, it's the smartest thing to do sometimes. It's why marriages last. Be smart.
Right.
Stay with the one that loves you, right?
So our next guest was down there. The Hockey Central panel was down in Tampa getting ready for the Habs and the Lightning. Our Twitter account, Brady and Walker, just posted a picture of Nick Kiprios. I do not know when he posed for this, but that's like, I was going to say Playgirl, but GQ or something.
Well, he's clothed. Cut it out.
Yeah.
Nick Kiprios joins us on Brady and Walker last night. You know, Game 7 has a feel to it, right? But you're an NHL playoff veteran. Game 1 has the coolest feel to it also, doesn't it? When you step in a rink and you realize there's going to be some hostility and there's going to be some bad blood get going between you. It was a great game last night, wasn't it?
Well, it's been a few years now where we've always looked back and said that round one's been probably the most exciting part of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I think it's just that feel of uncertainty where you probably think you know who should win, but you really don't get a feel for anything until you know the first 5 minutes or the first period, and there's a bit of a feeling out process here, but you know, the game went into overtime. I thought the Montreal Canadiens were the better team, and then you look at Tampa Bay and possibly they let one slip away. But you know, this one has a chance to go deep if I think if Lindback can hold on here for Tampa and hopefully get Bishop back in a position to make a difference.
We debated a lot on the goaltending. I'd love to get your read on Price's night. No one can say he was very good, but no one can also say that the Canadians weren't abysmal in front of him. And as for Lindback, it's just, you know, they flashed to Steve Yzerman. Nick, you're in the rink, but they flashed him right away. And he had that, Yzerman doesn't give much away. He's got the poker face down to a T, but you could just say, he's like, God, this, we're not going anywhere with this guy. He's known that for a couple of years now.
Well, yeah, he did. He has known that. And at one time he thought he would have been trading for a future number one goaltender for the Tampa Bay Lightning when he brought him out of Nashville. It didn't happen. As far as Carey Price is concerned, what was it, 4 goals on 14 shots? And you're sitting there going, uh-oh, here we go again in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But then it was almost like a light switch in overtime. He made 3 or 4 outstanding saves. Killorn had a great opportunity in front of the net, and he was just calm, cool, collected, square to the puck. It was like not a chance. And you just saw that calmness in overtime from Carey Price that you know you'll never get out of Lindback. And in many ways, I'm watching Lindback and I'm thinking Reimer, where he's battling and he's holding his team in there, but he kind of looks overwhelmed at times and he gets down on his knees and he doesn't hurry to get back up. And, you know, he goes to cover the post and you think there's a few holes there. And we saw Briere shoot a puck from a really bad angle in overtime. And it was like, you know, you can totally read their minds on the bench. It's like, get pucks on this guy.
Yeah, big time.
Something's going to go in.
Nick Kiprios, our guest, how far in on you are on the Montreal Canadiens are you? I mean, some people have them as a sleeper team. I'm kind of one of them. I think all of a sudden the Vanek acquisition is there. All of a sudden, Danny Briere is a bigger piece again, one that he wasn't in the regular season. And they give, if they do advance, they're the one team that seems to give Boston fits.
You know what? Yeah, they are. They're that one team that's outside of that, the Boston, and then to a lesser degree Pittsburgh. They could easily, well, I shouldn't say easily, but they are one of those teams that could find themselves in a conference final. And I think that the lack of shots on goal by Tampa and just the way that Montreal takes shooting lanes away, and knowing that, you know, if Carey Price is pretty calm, cool, and collected, that they should have a fighting chance to make some noise in these playoffs. I didn't think Vanek had a great game, but he sure can make game-breaking plays, and, you know, he can be a game-breaker, as he showed on his goal. And Daniel Briere certainly doesn't want to look back at, you know, the 13 goals that he scored this season, but he's got 100-plus playoff games to lean on. And I thought every shift you noticed Daniel Briere. Either he was going to the net, there was a scrum involved with him, or he drew a penalty, and he makes a great play in overtime. So that's experience for you. I thought Montreal's defense, though, overall, guys, way better than Tampa Bay's. They broke down on every goal. Gudas, I think, fell on the first goal. Koska got caught up on one of the goals. Hedman got caught on a shorthanded situation. And then Eric Brewer, Vanek just flipped him a coin like he was a TTC bus driver on his goal.
I'm glad you said that. I felt like Hedman had nerves last night. I spotted that halfway through the first, and I'm like, he doesn't look like a guy that put up 55 points and just played with oozed confidence all season. He didn't look it.
Didn't take charge whatsoever. Didn't show any type of authority back there. And, you know, PK Subban didn't light it up on the score sheet, but there's a calmness back there now, and if he can stay consistent, you know, and we've seen breakdowns in his game over the last couple of years in the playoffs, but there was a calmness on the other side, a quiet confidence on that blue line with Markov and PK, and you never sensed that. You got a little bit of overwhelmness from Tampa Bay, including Hedman and the rest of them, and maybe that was nerves and jitters, including Lindback, what came into the game with 13 minutes of playoff experience, never started an NHL playoff game. He looked like it. They all looked like it.
Nick Kiprusso, our guest, got about a minute here before we go, but your impressions on Columbus Pittsburgh, I think it was evident, right, early, what the Blue Jackets wanted to do, and that started with Brandon Dubinsky trying to get on Sidney Crosby.
Oh, no. You know what? They believe more than ever. They're down 1-0, and Columbus believes more than ever that they can beat this hockey club. They blew a 3-1 lead, guys, a 3-1 lead, and what was the difference? A puck's going through Bobrovsky, and if goalie Bob can just step it up a little bit here, they're going to feel like this one can go deep, but they're kicking themselves right now. They felt like they gave it away. They didn't have their opponents earn it.
We'll be listening at noon today. Thanks for this, Nick.
Okay, guys, have a great day.
Nick Kiprusso joining us live from Tampa at the venue where Tampa and Montreal play Game 2 tomorrow night. Four other series start tonight. We're incredibly excited. By the way, Mark DeRosa coming up in about 10 minutes, former Blue Jay from last season who's retired and now with MLB Network and MLB Tonight.
And they could use his bat on the bench. Maybe their best bench option.
Yes, right now. Yeah. He'd help today. Day-night doubleheader, Jays Twins, 1 o'clock on Sportsnet, right after Hockey Central, and right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So here we go. We have a third film that we're going to do a scene from, a basketball-themed movie, and we will take your phone calls immediately when the scene ends. 416-870-0590, star 590. We did a scene at 6:30. A scene at 7:30 that really was award-winning. It better get nominated for something.
Pretty good. Yeah, it was like, it was good. It was like 12 Years a Slave. It was solid stuff.
Yes. I'm not sure what characters we were in 12 Years a Slave, but we were damn good.
I was Matthew McConaughey. You were clearly Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club. Yeah.
I'm still wearing the same dress. Here it is. Here is our third cinematic masterpiece on Brady and Walker. The money was mine to keep for both of us when Jeopardy called.
Jeopardy is not going to call. When are you going to wake up?
Jeopardy's going to call, Billy. It's my destiny that I triumph magnificently on that show. And I'll never do that if I have to wear this stupid Hoochie Mama-looking dress that you bought me, which was obviously a poor excuse to cover up the fact that you up again. I'm going to get on that motherfucking show, and I'm going to win. Because I'm filled with more useless damn information than any human being on the f***ing planet.
Well done. Ooh, well done.
Jeez. Where's the dump button?
Well done.
We made it.
So we did a scene. This is for Raptors tickets, the hottest ticket in town, Raptors in Brooklyn. That's game one, Saturday at 12:30. We did a scene at 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30. Give us all three movies that we just transcribed.
416-870-0590, star 590, 416-870-0590. It also lets us stretch out our cinematic. I mean, we could have asked you
triple threats.
Who the first New Jersey Nets assistant coach was ever, but it lets us, we are, exactly, diverse. like Bo Jackson in those commercials, except for the hockey part. 416-870-0590. Rob in Mississauga, give it a go for Raptors-Nets tickets to Saturday. What three movies did we perform scenes from?
Well, I missed the first one completely, but I got the next two. The middle one was Teen Wolf. The last one there was White Men Can't Jump. And I'm just going to guess at the first one, Blue Chips.
That's wrong. Good
nice
guess.
Knowing you. Graham in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590. 416-870-0590. You know all three movies?
Nope.
All right, thanks for the... Because we're going to tell you them if you wait on hold long enough.
You lose.
Chris in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, the fan, Brady and Walker. Chris, do you have all three movies?
Yes, I do.
All right, fire away.
Space Jam, Teen Wolf, and White Men Can't Jump.
This is, let's confirm. Oh, there's already clapping. You've won. You're going to the Raptors and Nets on Saturday, Chris.
Yeah.
Were you up since 6 a.m.?
I have. I've been at work the whole time.
You tried harder at that contest than the Nets did to win a basketball game last night.
Wow.
Who are you taking Saturday?
That's a big decision I've got to decide on.
Well, do you have a young lady in your life with, or an old
no,
lady
that's
in your
a
ter- life?
That's then, a terrible
I've got
decision.
A fiance. I've got a brother who's a huge
no.
Fan,
take the fiance.
And I've got a coworker.
Oh, the coworker.
Screw the coworker.
We'll let you. Well,
take
not
brother.
Literally. You have
take
a fiance. All right, he's on hold. Congratulations to Chris in Toronto.
Don't take your chick. You take the guy that wants to go.
What on earth are you talking about? We don't know what's
going on. It's like you win a trip to Vegas. You don't want to take your wife. You want to take your buddy.
He's not going to Vegas.
I'm saying it's the equivalent.
Jeez, the flights.
It's probably cheaper to go to Vegas.
The flights to Vegas are cheaper than the Raptors.
How expensive beers are there?
836. We'll have
large
game,
beers?
We'll attempt to give away game two tickets potentially on Monday. Don't forget, I think they gave a pair away on... Or they may be giving a pair away on Tim and Sid today. I think that's true. So we'll be listening.
And the Masayu jury coming up at 9, right off the top with Jeff Blair. Mark DeRosa will join us to talk Blue Jays next.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So, Masterpiece Theater was a success, I think, for day one. Give away Raptors and Nets playoff tickets.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous. We can go with press passes. I kind of want tickets, actually.
You can wade down into the collective masses and do your thing.
Yeah.
But there won't be anywhere to sit.
Well,
like I said,
I'm
fascinated to see where Prokhorov sits. A guy with $11 billion is probably coming here Saturday for a game. And, you know, so you hot shots on Bay Street in your $1,000 suits. Prokhorov has $11 billion. He wants to sit in your seats. He'll find a way in.
You could sell your courtside seats maybe for the price of your entire season.
Incredibly powerful. Yeah.
That's a lot of dough. I'm actually afraid of guys like that.
We have a doubleheader today on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. 1 o'clock, Jays Twins. 7 o'clock, Jays Twins. Right now, it's 28 Fahrenheit minus 2 in downtown Minneapolis. Great success.
You know what? It feels like October. It's just practice for October is what it is.
On
the Jays and Twins meeting the ALDS.
MLB Network today. MLB Tonight will feature our next guest. Cards Nationals is the MLB game. It's on Rogers Channel 415. We love having MLB Network finally up here. We've had it for the last few months.
I think it's BS, by the way.
What?
Mark DeRosa's working for MLB. Jays can still use his bat. I thought it was a preemptive retirement.
It might have been. 1241 Major League Games. He joins us now. Mark DeRosa on Brady and Walker this morning. Thanks for making the time. Yeah, can you... any pangs of... You didn't miss spring training, I bet, but do you feel pangs of wishing you were still out there in the battle now?
You know, I do. I say to myself every day, I kind of justify it with the fact that I say, you know, you're missing it, you're missing the guys, you're missing the plane flights, you're missing everything about it, the competition, being in the dugout. But I keep telling myself that a week in the spring training, you would have been wanting to go home. So I try and justify it like that. I mean, I don't think there's any easy way to walk away from it, but I felt this was as good a time as any.
See, our show might not be around in a year, but Major League Baseball Network's not going anywhere. That gig would have been there.
They'd have waited you out.
There was a lot that went into the decision. I definitely love my time in Toronto. I know we didn't play well last year, but I had a blast, and family was the big reason. This job was the big reason, and I just felt like I didn't want to be away from my family, sit in a bench anymore.
So, Mark DeRosa, our guest, the Blue Jays start 8-6, and and you know you experienced everything last year, and I'm sure you had a note of the opinion of this team in the preseason. And the pessimist would say, it just didn't work, and it's not going to work. The optimist would say, this is a lot of pieces that came together. There's a lot of injuries, and everything is going to get better in 2014. And so far, you know, what has your impressions been of this group?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the side of the optimist. That was a whole new clubhouse last year, trying to come together, get to know each other. Our top two guys in the rotation were new. They didn't get off to great starts. Jose Reyes got hurt early. So did Brett. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I kind of liken it to what's happening in Arizona right now with the Diamondbacks. They just, can't find a way to win a game to get them over the hump. If they hit, they don't pitch. If they don't hit, they're just a comedy of errors, and need something to happen, and never did for us last year. We were able to go on that one streak of 11-0, and I think we just gave it right back right after that. So, yeah, this year is I'm just happy for the guys that they're able to go out there and get off to a decent start and kind of feel like it's not going to all implode in April on us.
Yeah, and you look at a team that's lived a charmed life, and they've earned everything they've gotten. The Rays must be feeling that this year. David Price is looking around thinking, we just lost this pitcher, we just lost that pitcher. The Yankees and their bullpen without Rivera. So the Jays are looking around thinking, yes, we've lost Jose Reyes, we have to get him back, we can't go anywhere without him, but at least we're not the only team suffering troubles in our own division, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, the injury bug that's hit. And the AL East is one place that you can't afford to go on a slide. There's just no room to breathe in that division. You look at it right now at the standings, a team that won the World Series and kind of had everything going great for them finds themselves in last place, and potentially there's no lock on who wins the AL East. There never will be right now with the way it's so deep and so talented. We went on that terrible April, and we kind of found ourselves, telling the media that, hey, we're still in it, we still got a shot, but it was almost impossible to come back from that.
Mark DeRosa, our guest, former Blue Jay, now with the MLB Network. You can watch him on there. A guy that you mentored, I guess, you got really close with, was Brett Laurie, and you were talking about him on Twitter the other day. The defense is always going to be there. It's incredible. He seems to be getting better and better. Really struggled at the plate in the early going, but looks to be coming out of it. What do you project for Brett this season?
I'd like to see him win a gold glove. I think he deserves it. I really do. I've never been around a more athletic third baseman than him. His ability to make the routine play and the spectacular play. And yeah, offensively, that's his, that's the situation where he's just got to find a way to relax a little bit at the plate. I think he's a misunderstood guy. I got to know him, just an absolute animal, cares for his teammates, loves being out there, plays with passion, probably doesn't always kind of harness it the right way, but his heart's in the right place, and he cares about his teammates and how he represents Canada. I know that kind of lays on him heavy, that he's kind of the favorite son up there.
Mark DeRosa.
I think he's young. I just think he's young.
Yeah, it's he's far from a finished product, right? It's still a canvas. There's still, drops of paint here, drops of paint there. But yeah, you nailed it. The talent's there and the heart's in the right place. So what more do people want? Mark DeRosa, our guest on Brady and Walker, 6 seasons in the postseason. Now, before you go, do us a favor and tell us something. Look, Munenori Kawasaki's back up. For heaven's sake, tell us something bad about him. Because he snores on flights. He eats too much dessert at the buffet after game. Just tell us something that annoyed you about Muninori. Because all we hear is great things. Give us something. What did he do wrong?
I got nothing.
Come on.
I'm telling you. Everybody needs to love this guy. And I wouldn't. And I'm being completely honest with you right now. I wouldn't love the whole Muninori Kawasaki aura if he couldn't play. And the guy can play. Yeah, he doesn't have the talent of a Brett Laurie or Jose Reyes, but every time. And I think that's what endears him to the fans. Not only is he a great interview and he's absolutely hilarious, he battles, man. He gets every bunt down. He works counts. He makes defensive gem plays. That's what endears me to him. I love the fact that the fans love him, but he helps you win.
All right. I know.
Day, you know, that's the name of the game.
I was hoping he hid the remote in the clubhouse or he's like lights guy's shoes on fire. We're still stuck with nothing. He's the most popular.
You're going to get nothing. You're going to get nothing. This guy's a gem.
Hey, we'll be watching tonight. Thanks so much for coming on. We loved having you here in Toronto for the year, but we're liking you equally on television. Thanks for doing this morning.
All right, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
Mark DeRosa joining us.
Good stuff. 141 NHL games. To make that a regular. Got to get him on again.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Blair's in. It's the Jeff Blair. So, Masai Ujiri out of the gate at 9 o'clock. You know, we were talking about this earlier. Ujiri has done a fantastic job, Jeff, but the New York Daily News, Frank Asola, kind of wrote about it exclusively. Like, the one that got away for the Knicks is the Kyle Lowry trade, and James Dolan, who's deserved so much scorn for how he's done a lot of things with the Rangers and Knicks. And
best trade is one that you didn't make, right?
I can't think of a trade that wasn't made in Toronto sports history that might have been so impactful.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. I think Masai told one of the New York writers last night, he sent it out on Twitter, he said, I'm surprised they let me in the arena.
Well, he did his part. He said, here's Kyle Lowry for a first-round pick.
All you need to know about the Raps is that Kyle Lowry, when I hear Tim Lewicki hold out the Raptors as the model, that's what he wants the Leafs to be. He wants Kyle Lowry, more Kyle Lowry's in the Leafs, you know, in the Leafs dressing room. That shows you how far we've come in this city. The basketball team is the standard against which the hockey team's being measured by ownership, which is never. Incredible. I never thought I'd be saying that.
Right.
Let alone
in just 9 months. Sometimes it takes 4 years to switch directions.
12:30, first playoff game in 6 years, and Masai Ujiri on with Jeff Blair next.
So we are off tomorrow morning. Jeff's got 2 hours here. Then John Gibbons, part of Baseball Central, at 11:15. So stay with it. Hockey Central at noon. Then Jays Twins. Bonus
Double
baseball
dip.
Today. Yeah,
one Double o'clock. Dip.
Whoa. How many residents are wearing a parka and staying for all 6 hours? My God.
It's going to be -2 game time temperature.
So there's awesome. Jeff Blair, Jeff Blair Show next. Have a great Easter weekend. Be safe. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
We collect and analyze all the sports data so you don't have to. Not because you're lazy, but because you're brilliant. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.